episode.
Yes, hello, and welcome to Thought Patterns. My name is Jason Trachtenberg. What's this song that's playing here? What is this? What's this music here? There's some music playing here. What's going on here? Who's playing the theme from Friends? This is not my theme song. Should I just push this button here? Whoa. All right, how do we get the song off of here? I can't stand the theme from Friends. I don't know about you. I can do without that song. But then it says don't move. Shouldn't this one be up? See if we're on here. Okay, so we got the theme from Friends. That's great. Okay. I could really do without this. Just so everyone knows, Friends is one of my least favorite songs of all time. Friends is one of my least favorite shows of all time. Then we could just kill the song. Oh my God. The gods of show business are female, apparently. And that's the way I like it. Good evening and welcome to Thought Patterns. My thanks to everyone for coming out tonight. You guys have a lovely, lovely weekend. Okay, stay out of the 7-Elevens, all right? That's all. Stay out of the 7-Elevens. Looks like you were just at the 7-Elevens. What's going on over there? All right, catch you guys next time. We're Radio Free Brooklyn, Brooklyn's community radio station. We're all in it together. We are all in it together. My apologies for those who dislike the Friends song as much as I do. I'm not sure how that happened. Anyway, welcome to Thought Patterns. My name is Jason Trachtenberg. I'm going to be your host for this hour on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're here the first Sunday of every month. It's not your regular show, unless you consider it Friends, then it is your regular show. But anyway, no, just everyone knows, nothing can throw me off more than that song. So there's this technique in the theater called obstacles, where you intentionally put something in your way in order to see how you can overcome it. Or, for example, maybe you'll speak twice as slow, or run the show through backwards, or you know, everyone plays on different parts to see how it goes. So for me, a major obstacle would be to put the Friends theme song at the beginning of our show, because it's a community station. There is no my, there is no this, it's just our. And the show is called Thought Patterns. I'm Jason Trachtenberg. I'm your host for this hour on Radio Free Brooklyn. The show is called Thought Patterns. Thought Patterns, entering and exiting, coming and going, giving and taking, in one ear and out, they say, the other ear, you know, in one ear and out the other ear, or if it's the rat with three ears, then out the other ear. Thought Patterns. I'm your host, Jason Trachtenberg. Today's show will include news, views, sports, weather, and traffic together on the fours. Looking forward to that. Some Super Bowl predictions. Mm-hmm. Stories, songs. I'll sing a song. Do some poetry. Do some prose that goes and goes and goes. Jokes. I'll tell a few. But what I really want to talk about is what people often ask me, and that is, Jason, I'm not making this up. People often ask me, Jason, what do you have for breakfast in the morning? What do you have for breakfast? I really do get asked that question a lot. I really do. I'm in a position where that question does come my way quite a bit. More about what my position is as we continue the show. But I really do get often the question, what do you have for breakfast? And I get that question asked a lot, early and often, especially early. People are curious, and curiosity is a trait that I can seriously respect. So people want to know, I get it. So for those who want to know what I make for breakfast, here we go. Steel cut oats. I make a quarter of a cup of steel cut oats every morning of the week, every day of the month. Every month of the year, you get the point. Though, once in a while, I consider myself a 29-30 steel-cut oater. In other words, maybe one day a month, I'll have a savory breakfast, like what last night's dinner leftovers were, like a chickpea curry. Maybe I'll have that breakfast, but it really hasn't happened in a really long time. Certainly not in the new year of 2017. Our first aside of the afternoon is that I just realized that Melania Trump is going to be the new lady for the new millennia. So Melania for the millennia. So that's pretty exciting. But let's stay on track. Steel cut oats for breakfast every day of the week, every week of the month. Here's how I do it. Let me make our second aside of the afternoon. Aside, which is of course actually pronounced acai. Right. Okay. I originally got into oatmeal for breakfast as a result of my volunteer job that I've been doing once a day every week for the past 15 years. I volunteer at an establishment called the 4th Street Food Co-op. And the 4th Street Food Co-op is located in the East Village at 58 East 4th Street. And that will kind of be our running theme of the afternoon, is this little store, this little 1,000 square foot store will be our running theme for the afternoon. Actually, it seems like our running theme is going to be asides and backtracking, but you can only go so far with that. So I was volunteering at the 4th Street Food Co-op, and I noticed that a lot of the older shoppers, and when I mean older, I'm talking 85, 90, 92, 92 with 2 months, 13 days, 27, some of the really older folks, the better folks, they were buying these enormous bags of oatmeal, huge, right? Bags of oatmeal. And of course, being a relatively newcomer to the scene, I'd only been a vegetarian for about 10 years at that point. I'm going on close to 25 years as a vegetarian, and I don't even like to say that I'm a vegan, because I was a vegetarian back before they even had the word vegan. A vegetarian just meant someone who didn't eat meat. Now all of a sudden they have this new term. There's things called lacto-ovo-vegetarian, like, you know, vegetarian who would eat milk and dairy, or a pescatarian, someone who just has fish. And then a vegetarian means you just have not meat. But then they had to change the dialect to vegan. So I've never really grew comfortable with that word, even though that is a practice that I subscribe to. But no, I just say vegetarian. That's good enough for me. For over 25 years. So I'd been in the scene for a while, and I actually had gotten back. I originally joined the health food movement in 1979, not to date myself too badly, but why? I'll tell you why. Because back then, the counterculture almost came through to become the culture. We were this close. In other words, lifestyle choices, freedom of thought, freedom of the individual, a non-reliance on consumer commercialism, at least in my opinion, seemed to reach a high point, a high watermark, if you will, for all the swimmers out there. Okay, our third aside of the evening. So what did they say when Michael Phelps started, you know, acting a little off, right? This is, something's kind of wrong with Michael Phelps, right? Well, I think he's gone off the deep end. Okay. So, okay, let's bring it back. So in 1979, things had gotten so progressive that carob was mainstream. You could buy a carob bar at the same place as you could buy chocolate. In fact, you had the two. You had carob and you had chocolate. And then somehow, right after Reagan got elected, here we go again, carob somehow mysteriously disappeared off the shelves and all became mainstream milk chocolate, where, you know, it wasn't even chocolate. It had no, you know, cacao actually does have health benefits, health properties. Not the stuff they were selling in the 80s, no. It's shaped up a little bit just because consumers have woken up a little bit. But I remember when consumers were already awake. But then everyone fell asleep for the next 8 plus 4 years. And then I guess for the next 8 plus 8 years after that. And then maybe shortly thereafter, there was a consumer demand for products that had some sort of intrinsic health property, some sort of functional food, as we call it, not just you know, substance, not just calories to get by in the day, but food with function, food with purpose, superfoods, as well too, and so that sprung up, and the only downside of that is that it has, based on just the way that the economics have set up of it, is that it has created a bit of a class divide as to those who can afford it, those who have access to it, and those who don't. Now, that's what brings us back to the 4th Street Food Co-op. It's a little food store, 58 East 4th Street in the East Village, where anyone, you can spend less there and get a much higher quality product than you would in a mainstream situation for a mainstream tainted, bastardized, chemical-laden product, you know, a non-organic, GMO'd product. We would sell at the co-op, the 4th Street Food Co-op in the East Village, for half the price of what theirs does. Why can we do that? Because of the cooperative work model, in that there are no owners, there are no managers, there are no workers. It's a volunteer-based situation, which functions quite well. And you give what you have according to your own skill set, and you add decades to your life. It's that simple. But let's get back to the steel cut oats, because that's a good place to start. Breakfast is a really good place to start. If you take away one thing from today's show, please remember that breakfast is a good place to start. So I take a quarter cup of steel-cut oats, then I add water. How much water? A little less than 2 to 1. So in other words, if I have a quarter cup of oats, I'd add a little bit less than a half a cup of water. You don't want to add too much water for two reasons. Is one, because it turns into mush city. We don't want that. We want kind of a chewier, richer bowl of cereal in the morning. We don't want anything too mushy. And two, you can always add a little bit more water later if you haven't added enough. So don't add too much water, whatever you do, like I did this morning. So a little bit less than 2 to 1 on the water. 2 parts water, 1 part oats. Bring to boil, set to simmer. Then add some pumpkin seeds, some raw almonds, some raisins, half a diced apple, or maybe even half a peach or a pear, a ripe banana, half. Always use half. Now, okay, why do you always want to use half of a piece of fruit? Anyone? That's right. So you have a half left over for the next day. Huh? It's that simple. Then you have a half left over for the next day. It's nothing like waking up in the morning and seeing your half a piece of fruit left over ready for your today's oatmeal that you had, you know, the foresight to set aside from the day before. Just love yourself yesterday and your planning. Let's continue. Okay, then, so you have your oatmeal. It's been, and you're 2 to 1 with the water. Once again, add pumpkin seeds, raw almonds, raisins, different kinds of fruit, whatever your favorite fruit is. You don't have to use your own kind. There's thousands of different combinations. You could actually have a different kind of bowl of oatmeal every day for the rest of your life without having the same mix of ingredients in your oatmeal. So people say, well, Jason, you eat the same thing for breakfast every single day. Like, no, my friend. I actually have a combination set up where I can have something different every single day. You eat the same thing for breakfast every day with your bagels, with your muffins, with your bacon, egg, and cheese, with your egg on a cheese, with your egg, cheese, and sandwich. You have the same thing every day. That's, oh God, don't you remember what I talked about the last episode? I'm not gonna attack the audience or challenge them for their breakfasts because we're all in it together, especially here at Radio Free Brooklyn, the community radio station. Okay, but then I crack the code. What I do next with my oatmeal is, in my opinion, the secret ingredient. And of course, as anyone who does any bit of cooking at all in this lifetime knows, the secret ingredient is salt. That's right, but not just any salt. No, non-iodized salt. Specifically, non-iodized Celtic sea salt, or even better, my new favorite, the pink Himalayan non-iodized pink salt. Salt is pink. Welcome to the world. Just trust me on this one with the salts. Just a little pinch. Then, cook on very, very low for 7 or 8 minutes. Super low heat. How low can you go? Super, super low. In fact, do yourself a favor. Do not check your internet. Do not check your Facebook while your oatmeal is cooking, because they have this thing on Facebook where it's a trap and you can't get off of it. And you just keep doing it, doing it, doing it. And I can't even imagine what the other ones are like, you know, Instagram and Twitter. Once you start, you don't stop. It's horrible. So don't do that. Do not check the internet while you're making your oatmeal, because you might forget. And then your oatmeal will burn, because you want to stir it every 60 seconds. So once again, if you're cooking it for 7 or 8 minutes, stirring it every 60 seconds, that means you get to stir about 7 or 8 times. So don't forget, just do me that favor. And then the last touch, the final ingredient, after it's already cooked, and you know, you put it in your bowl and you have a perfect texture, a little pinch of salt, you are good to go. At this point, it's about 7:15 in the morning. The last touch, and this is my favorite because this is a superfood, is a pinch of cinnamon. Even a sprinkle of cinnamon. You know, live a little bit. Have a sprinkle of cinnamon. There's a cinnamon called the sweet cinnamon, which I believe is called the cassia cinnamon. You want to check on that, though. But there's two kinds of cinnamon. One's a little bit lighter, one's a little bit darker. And oddly, in this case, the lighter cinnamon is the superfood one. The one that prevents and cures everything. Oops. It's delicious and prevents and cures everything. It's that simple. But that gets me thinking that how can I describe to you the essence that is of cinnamon? How can I do this on the radio? The essence of cinnamon. How can I describe this to you on the radio? The essence of cinnamon. Something to think about while on on the radio. So just a couple more notes about steel-cut oats while I have your attention here. Steel-cut oats are readily available for generally $1.65 per pound. So if I get 10 quarter cups per pound, I've done the math, 10 quarter cups per pound of oats at this price, it evens out to about 16 cents per serving. And that is in the post-economic crash of 2008, my breakfast is 16 cents per serving. In this Trumpian era, my breakfast is 16 cents per serving, per serving, and has nutritional value that will extend my life and my focus possibly to 150. I'm just saying. Take an insurance policy out on me, people. Seriously, it'll pay dividends, because I ain't going nowhere. Not with this diet. Some of the health benefits of steel-cut oats include that they are an excellent source of protein, right? Because people often ask, you know, as a vegetarian, where do you get your protein from? How about my steel-cut oats? Has a lot of fiber, both soluble and insoluble. Iron, B vitamins, including thiamine, riboflavin, niacin. And just one note on the protein is if you combine the nuts and the seeds with the oats, this constitutes a complete protein, which will contain all the essential amino acids, and that makes up a complete protein. So you take your oats and you combine it with the nuts, and then you have your complete protein, and you are good to go. Okay, so we've spent the last 17 minutes talking about oatmeal, and that is my kind of show. I could have made 3 bowls of oatmeal in the time it took to do this feature. So listeners, I'd like to know what is in your breakfast. What do you make? And maybe you could maybe I could learn a thing or two from you. Maybe you want some oatmeal ideas from me. So just email me and I will send you some oatmeal tips. My name is Jason Trachtenberg and my email is thependulumswings@yahoo.com. thependulumswings@yahoo.com. And we are here on Radio Free Brooklyn, as we are the first Sunday of every month. And that is breakfast. Ah, that was delicious. I feel like I just had some oatmeal. Today's next feature is a piece I'd like to do that is called, this piece actually has 2 titles. It's called Coin a Phrase or a Pocket Full of Change. Actually, I'm going to do a little sound effect here on the air. Ready? You hear that? You hear that? It's a pocket full of change. Benjamin Franklin, one of our nation's most famous founding fathers, famously coined the phrase, a penny saved is a penny earned. He coined that phrase. A penny saved is a penny earned. He coined that phrase. A penny saved is, oh, you get it. He coined the phrase. It's the phrase that pays. He coined it. A penny saved is a penny earned. And a dollar lost is a Holocaust. Okay. Easy does it. I was on the subway one day, and let's relive the incident as it happened. Ouch! What's in my back pocket? It's a small pocket filled with small change. Ow! I just sat on the change. Ow! On the plastic hard subway seats, which are unforgiving on the subway. So I pulled out the change just to get comfortable. The small change, very small. 6 pennies, 1 nickel, 1 dime in all. 21 cents. Where to put it? I don't know. But the top penny was faded and old. But that, obviously, old penny had that added character and substance that can only come from age and experience and being tossed around by people just a bit. Highs and lows, the usual. You know what I'm talking about. The year on that penny? Well, obviously had a look. It was 1964, which is interesting for a couple reasons. One, that's the year of my wife's birth. But two, it meant that this penny was probably manufactured and produced in 1963. Need I say more? That's right. Don't get me started about JFK. Anyway, dreams were meant to fall apart, and the second penny in the pile had some wear and tear on it as well. Quite a bit, actually. The penny was just as beat up. The year on the second penny, well, I had a look, and I'm not making this up, was 1969. That's right, the year of my birth. Impossible, but it was true. 1969, the odds of this happening are numerically low. I still couldn't believe it. That's just nuts. Anyway, it gets better. The next penny, the third from the top, it was old in its way, not new in any way, or by any stretch of the imagination. This penny had been around too, the year 1980. Are you kidding me? 1980, a major turning point in the world. Our humanity became a commodity, and that was not before. Not that it was before, but somehow it seemed to be official. It was the end of the end of freedom as of the end of my innocence as I knew it, 1980. Then 1982, 81 when MTV came out was the end of art. The next penny, the fourth, faded, chipped, scratched. A real mess of a penny. Anyway, the year? 1984. Orwellian nightmare, in full effect. Need I say more? The fifth and sixth pennies were, they were from the early aughts. Mostly forgettable, nothing distinguishable, no memorable traits or characteristics. No individuality, not those pennies, but moving on. The nickel? Well, it was from 1993. That's the year my daughter was born. I had an awakening, and I finally became the real me. And the dime? It's from 1989. That's the year I met my wife, Tina. I know we're going back in time. I reminisce sometimes, and sometimes thoughts are rearranged, but this time, my most memorable memories, they're found within a pocket full of change. A pocket full of loose, small, jangly, jingly, coiny change. It's a true story called Coin a Phrase or a Pocket Full of Change. So, real quickly here, we are on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're here, this show is called Thought Patterns. We're here the first Sunday of every month, though I must say, just saying and just putting it out there, we have been promoted to a weekly show. We're going to become a weekly show starting in season number 5. Right now, this is officially, for those keeping track, this is season number 4 of Radio Free Brooklyn, the fourth season. And for season number 5, we will become a weekly show, which I'm really excited about because I have a lot of information to share and I really enjoy doing this. So, but this show that we do here is actually does not come on the air for nothing. We actually do rely on community sponsors, people in the community, anyone who's listening. If you want to go to the website and make a donation, help keep the station on the air, pay for administrative expenses, as I hear that they're called, go to www.radiofreebrooklyn.com and become a sponsor for the station or become a sponsor for our show in particular. Either way is fine by me, because it's a community. But fortunately, I have a bit of news to make. Whew, a little bit of an announcement to make is we actually do have a few advertisers for the show right now, and I'm pretty excited about the new advertisers we have. So let me tell you who we have working for us right now. So here we go. Thank you. Here it comes. Do a quick ad break here, and then we'll come back to regular programming momentarily. Today's show is sponsored by Chelsea Tanning, the most progressive spa in the neighborhood. Your beauty secrets are safe with us. Our nail polish doesn't crack under pressure. Our bottles are secure, and our hair care products are guaranteed not to leak. These products do not leak. Chelsea Tanning, serving everyone on a need-to-know basis. Chelsea Tanning, your beauty secrets are safe with us. So thank them. And then we have another advertiser who's helping out on the show here. Oh, very pleased about our new advertiser that we have, Park and Sons, parking lot and parking lot services. We'll never forget where you parked. You'll park your car ever again. You'll never forget that you never forgot where you parked your car. Park and Sons, parking lot services. Our service attendants don't even know their own names, but that's what the employee name tags are for. Hello, my name is Park and Sons. Many locations to serve you. I just don't remember where they are. What was I saying? Park your car here. Give us your keys. What could possibly go wrong? Park and Sons is a family-owned car parking and parking lot services company for at least the last 13 generations. We've been parking cars. Maybe even the last 37 generations, we've been parking your cars. We are descendants from the Mayflower. Mayflower cause you skin irritations? Then try Speltflower. Park and Sons. And one more sponsor that we have here on Radio Free Brooklyn, Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg. We're very pleased to announce the sponsorship of Sirhan Saran Wrap. You got a bad rap? Try Sirhan Saran Wrap, used by the finest ambassador hotels and ballrooms and some of the finest hotel kitchens in Los Angeles. Sirhan Saran Wrap does not leave any air bubbles, polka dots, and the like. Sirhan Saran Wrap, keeping everything airtight, under wraps, if you will, keeping everything under wraps since 1968. It's an airtight case. Sirhan Saran Wrap. Sirhan Saran Wrap. And we have one more advertiser to get to because the show costs a lot of money to put on. We have one more advertiser to get to. And that advertiser is very excited about this sponsorship here. We have a new sponsor to the show. I'd like to give a big Thought Patterns welcome to Keith and the crew down at Erstwhile Textile. Erstwhile Textile, for all your textile needs. Whatever your intention, Erstwhile Textile has got you covered. Hey, I can't find that textile. We specialize in hard-to-find textiles. Hey, look behind the file cabinet or the bottom of that big stack of other textiles in the back room. Now those are some hard-to-find textiles. They could be anywhere in this chaotic mess of a back room. Try finding anything back here. That's a live footage from the back room of erstwhile textiles sent to us from Keith. It's hard to find. We specialize in hard-to-find textiles. Erstwhile Textile. Do you have a home project? Why not give Erstwhile Textile a call? We mean it. We really, really mean it when we say, set your budget, set your arty intentions, and make all of your textile dreams come true. erstwhiletextile.fabric.forward/.backslash.keith. Okay. That'll do it. Erstwhile Textile. Thank you, Keith and the boys. Down at Erstwhile Textile. Yes, they do very good work down there. Okay, here we go. Here's something I've been thinking about lately. So the biggest trend in dining, of course, these days, as everyone knows, is farm to table. Farm to table. Well, you know what, folks? It's not quite that simple. No, here's what's really going on. It's not farm to table. It's farm to picker, to packer, to trucker, to distributor, to unpacker, to below minimum wage unloader, to minimum wage line cook, to out of work actor, to waiter, to table. All right, it's not farm to table. Just grow it yourself, or once again, bringing it all back to the concept we were talking about earlier, come to the 4th Street Food Co-op, where at least it's a much more hands-on experience. You can really see where your produce is coming from. You can take it out of the box, you can put it in the cooler, and you can put it in a bag, and then you put it on your table. So it eliminates at least 15 steps out of the way, and as noted before, about 50% of the price. So yeah, there is no such thing as farm to table. So please, please stop using that line. That's the thing also, is like I noticed that millennials just don't cook anymore. They really don't. And not just them, but a lot of people in our society, they don't cook. They've lost that connection between themselves and their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They lost the connection, and losing lots of hard-earned money in the process. There's only so much money to go around, people. I don't care who you are. There's only so much to go around, so you might as well not spend it. Okay, you heard it here first. Financial advice from Jason Trachtenberg. So yeah, but the things with millennials, you know, they're so sharp and yet they're so kind of disconnected at the same time. I mean, they wouldn't be able to tie their shoes together if they tried, but yet they could develop an app to tie their shoes together. So as an example, I got to thinking about millennials and, you know, Melania and the millennials and all that, and, you know, the first lady for the new century and all that. And I got to think about millennials, and I figured, let me just go back in time for a bit. And I got to thinking that actually, if you think about it, and I was thinking about it, that my great 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 grandparents were also millennials from the year 1000, but yet they didn't feel the need to order out seamless 3 meals a day. Jeez, these millennials just cannot cook. Anyway, there's my insight for millennials and cooking. Okay, we've reached the halfway point here on Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg. We've covered some material so far, but yet we still have some more material to cover, and that's the beauty of the show. Let me cover a couple things here. Actually, you know what? Let's take a musical break. Is that okay? Let's take a musical break, and we'll be right back at you. You've been a lovely audience. So here, actually, on today's musical break, we're going to honor nerd rockers, as I talked about earlier in our preview. We're going to honor nerd rockers. And I made a short list of nerd rockers. And if anyone would like to add some to this list, feel free to email me at thependulumswings@yahoo.com. But here's my short list of nerd rockers, and then we'll take a quick musical break. But my list of nerd rockers. And what constitutes a nerd rocker? I think glasses are important. And doing this thing where your music is more intelligent than you are in real life. In other words, there's a lot of musicians such as, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get any trouble, but there's a lot of musicians who are really smart in real life, but yet they have to dumb themselves down with their art material. But then there's other people who are just, you know, medium intelligent, but they put everything they have into it, into into their songwriting. So my short list of nerd rockers, and glasses is a prerequisite. Starting with just rock and roll. I know there was a music before rock and roll, but we're just going to start here with 1957, which of course is Buddy Holly, the original nerd rocker, to be followed by Roy Orbison, the next nerd rocker, to be followed by, and I'll stand by this one as long as I have to, John Lennon, a definite nerd rocker if ever there was one. Then the guy from the Turtles, as well, nerd rocker. Then possibly the penultimate nerd rocker, Elvis Costello, the penultimate nerd rocker, if ever there was one. Then the nerd rockers who actually gave me hope that entertainment dreams were possible, and that was They Might Be Giants. Both of them, John Linnell and John Flansburgh, both nerd rockers. Two nerd rockers in one band. That's about as good as it gets in this lifetime. Then Weezer. These guys are definitely nerd rockers. And I think that's where the list leaves off. So if I've forgotten anyone, feel free to nudge me or try and convince me one way or the other that any of these contestants are or are not nerd rockers. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story before I take our musical break here. Real quickly here, I'm starting a new band. It's called the English Speakers US. The English Speakers US. Definitely nerd rockers. And we have our debut show, our first show as a band, which is going to be Thursday, February 16th at the Sidewalk Cafe, which is in the East Village on Avenue A and East 6th Street. Sidewalk Cafe is not your regular venue. It's not your regular kind of music venue. Why? Because unlike other venues, such as just putting one out there, like the Mercury Lounge or something like that, it's not based on how many tickets you sell. You're getting a chance to perform there, like a chance, like it's, you know, like we owe them something. But that's the way the tables have turned. Is not based on how many Budweisers you sell, how much alcohol poison you can give your audience. No, it's not based on any of that at all. It's based on artistic merit and scene support. That's what the Sidewalk Cafe is based on, and no other venue is like that. And it used to be like that. I just finished reading the Bob Dylan Chronicles, Volume 1. I highly recommend it to anyone who reads. It's not a regular book. He goes in directions. He takes it where no one has ever taken it before. I am a fan of Bob Dylan's, of course, but I think even for those who are on the fence, would still enjoy the book. It's an artistic landscape portrait of 1960-61 Greenwich Village folk scene. Then he jumps inexplicably to 1986, and he jumps back to 1960, just the same way a pop song would be written, or a folk song as it would be in his case. But anyway, the Sidewalk Cafe. So I have a new band. It's a pop rock band, all original songs. Features myself, Jason Trachtenberg on keyboards. We have Ben Pagano on bass, Andrew Graw on drums, Sal Mander. And on guitar, Brian Campbell, a bunch of top-notch New York musicians. And we are going to be, I wouldn't call it nerd rock, I'd call it more literary rock or literate rock. We're going to write smart songs about life experiences that I didn't know I would be able to have in this lifetime, because, you know, I didn't know that I would still be swimming in it, as we say, at age 47. You know, that I'm still like experiencing highs and lows, ups and downs, Still doing the struggle, still swimming upstream as it is at age 47. I thought maybe I would have had it made by now. And the thing is, once you have it made, that's when, historically speaking, and you know, from an artistic perspective, you cease to exist relevantly wise, and you don't have experiences anymore. I know I'm painting with broad strokes here, but you know, I only have this one brush. And so, you know, in other words, if someone's making your bed each morning, if someone's cooking your meals each day, if someone's taking care of your kids for you, if someone is signing all your papers for you, if someone's like keeping track of your passport for you, if someone's driving you around, if someone's setting up your work day for you, how are you going to have experiences in this lifetime that constitute a real connection with humanity, right? So I got to experience some things as a result of you know, still being of the people, by the people, and for the people in my so-called middle years, that has led to some songwriting songs. I don't use the B word, breakthroughs, that were that really could only come from a so-called songwriter who has had some sort of life experience and lived some things. And also one thing I liked about the Bob Dylan book is that even though he definitely had made it at 1963 or so, he still embraced the reality of the moment. And, you know, he often, like, there was a famous story, like, he'd be like found like just walking around the streets of some small town and everything, you know, whereas like other most pretty much every other artist just chose to, you know, and were honored and excited to live in the bubble. We live in a bubble, you can't touch me, nothing can influence me. But then how are you going to make relevant, important songs and art anymore? So, tell you what, let's take a musical break right now, and we'll come back with the second half of the show. The song I'd like to do for you is a song that we'd like to play for you is by the original Nerd Rocker, Buddy Holly, and the anniversary of the day the music died playing Crash, which was just recently. Actually, I heard that Bob Dylan actually saw that tour with Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper as it was coming up north in the bad snow, and he saw that tour, you know, obviously before the final show. Anyway, so let's play the song here. This is Buddy Holly, Oh Boy, and then we'll be right back at you. This is Thought Patterns with Jason Trachtenberg on Radio Free Brooklyn. All my love, all my kisses, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy, oh boy. When you're with me, oh boy, the world will see that you were meant for me. Ba-dum-bum-bum. All my life, I've been waiting, tonight there'll be no... Okay, let's see, I gotta do the dishes, I gotta mop it. Hesitate, no boy, oh boy, when you're with me, oh boy, the world will see that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling. You can hear my heart a-calling. Little epinephrine makes everything the same. I'm going to hold all society blame. All my love, all my kisses. You don't know what you've been missing. Oh boy, when you're with me. Oh boy, the world can see that you were meant for me. Bum ba dum bum, oh boy, bum ba dum bum, oh boy, bum 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 bum, oh boy, bum ba dum bum, ba dum bum 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 bum. All my love, all my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing. Oh boy, when you're with me, oh boy, the world will see that you were meant for me. All my life, I've been waiting, tonight there'll be no... See, I gotta do the dishes, gotta do the chores, gotta mop the floor, gotta alphabetize the spices. Hesitate, oh boy, when you're with me, oh boy, the world will see that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling. You can hear my heart a-calling. A little epinephrine makes everything the same. I'm gonna hold all society blame. All my life, all my kisses. You don't know what you've been missing. Oh boy, when you're with me. Oh boy, the world will see that you were meant for me. Yeah, it was Buddy Holly's Oh Boy. A couple additions in there. That's okay. That's the way I do it. Man, he wrote some songs in his short time. He wrote so many songs, he should have died at 27, but I believe he died at 22. Unbelievable, maybe 23. Unbelievable. But maybe he was faking his age. You know how showbiz works. Okay. So, we're almost up at to this part of the show that is one of my favorite parts of the show, and that is sports, weather, and traffic together on the fours. We're going to do it a little bit early today because it is a big day out there. For those of you in the sports world, know today is Super Bowl Sunday. It only comes but once a year, and it is definitely the probably the most important American holiday that we have. The one that does bring everyone together. My wife is actually out doing a anti Super Bowl protest right now, but I'm going to go watch the game because I like it. What can I tell you? So I'm going to do our sports and weather together and traffic together on the fours. It's now it's almost 4:44, but we're going to do this a little bit early today, just because I want to get to one more thing before the show ends. So sports, weather, and traffic together. Sports. Okay. I didn't know there was a team called the Pelicans. Did you know that? I didn't even know that. Okay. Weather. Ugh, it's getting iffy out there. What can I tell you? Too hot when it could be, too cold when it could be, when it shouldn't be. Global warming. Yeah, whatever. Right? Traffic. It's a mess. Seriously. Consider alternative forms of public transportation. Take the subway. I'm not a big bike guy. I'm more of a jogger. Go get yourself some nice jogging shoes and jog in the bike lane. So that's traffic. So sports, weather, and traffic together on the fours. Oh, okay, so sports. As noted online, I'm going to make my Super Bowl prediction right now, and I feel pretty strongly about this one. Of course, for those of you who know, I'm generally wrong about these things, but that is okay. But I feel very strongly about this one for a couple of reasons. One is this does seem like a pretty easy game to predict, just because I do follow these things. It's the New England Patriots versus the Atlanta Falcons. And the thing I like about both of these teams is at least they're actually teams I've heard of, right? I don't like things like the Tennessee Titans. I've never even heard of them, right? So I have trouble, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. I haven't even heard of this team, right? So I have trouble getting behind teams that I didn't know existed back when I was a child, right? Because I kind of set my I set my sports wall up around 1980, right? So anything that happened after 1980, I consider it all about the money, right? I don't think there's any artistic or athletic merit post 1980. That's right. Sorry, folks. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not into these teams that I don't really know who they are. The Pelicans. I don't even know who this team is. I guess that's basketball. No. So in other words, I'm glad that there's two teams that I'm familiar with. That's very important to me. New England Patriots versus the Atlanta Falcons. And so my prediction for the score is, and if anyone hasn't placed their bet yet, you can get in right now with the Vegas bookies. You ready for this? Final score. You can check this out later. I'm feeling really good about this one. New England 37, Atlanta 27. And most of Atlanta's 27 points are going to be during mop-up time in the fourth quarter, just to get some highlight reel stuff or whatever. You know, there'll be a couple of highlight things, but it'll be during junk time, whatever they call it, garbage time. New England 37, Atlanta 27. And let me tell you why I feel so good about this game right now. Obviously, for those of you who follow football, you know that it's a game that's primarily about the lines, the offensive line and the defensive line, but specifically the offensive line. So if you want to really watch, I think I remember it was my dad who told me this. He goes, you know, watch, you know, don't watch the quarterback, watch the lines, right? Watch the action on there, you know, as far as like, you know, where it's going to go. So I always pay attention to that. But it's pretty hard to dismiss the quarterback from the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. And I did a little bit of background into his situation to figure out why does he keep coming to the Super Bowl every year? Why does he have such success for someone who has, you know, he wasn't gifted with the highest, you know, athletic gifts of God, you know, such as, you know, someone like a Ben Roethlisberger, from the quarterback from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, you know, he's not built like that. What is he doing? He's 39 years old. You know, when Peyton Manning was 39 years old, he couldn't even throw the football anymore. What is Tom Brady doing that the other athletes are not doing? And he says he's going to keep going until he's 44, you know, five or six more years. And I think he will. Here's why. I did a little bit of fact checking, a little bit of background on Tom Brady's pregame preparations. And as you know, just, you know, from listening to the first 15 minutes of the show, I am all about the diet. I'm all about nutrition. And I feel like that makes you who you are, both creatively, athletically, intellectually, with your statistics. It's going to increase your longevity. It's going to make you look good. It's going to grow your hair back, if you want that to be the case. I'm not sure if that's the case in his case. Anyway, it's another story. But I looked into Tom Brady's diet, and this is what I learned, because I knew something was up. I looked at him and I said, wait a second, he's doing something that I can really relate to, because I hang out with healthy people at the 4th Street Food Co-op, which, once again, if I haven't mentioned this three times already, please, you want to save half the total on your grocery bill and then all the total on your medical bill? You want to save it all? Come to the 4th Street Food Co-op. Pocket full of change. Come to the 4th Street Food Co-op. 58 East 4th Street in the East Village. It's not an advertisement, because it's a community store. And I'm there Fridays from 9 a.m. until noon, and I'll show you around. I'm there every Friday. I've been there for the last 15 years. I don't miss shifts, and I take this stuff seriously. So Tom Brady's diet. According to my research, Tom Brady follows a strictly organic foods diet, including 80% vegetables and whole grains. He does not eat sugar, white flour, MSG, iodized salt, remember I told you we'd bring that back home, coffee, or dairy. Fats come from extra virgin olive oil and coconut oil. He eats zero processed foods, and this is a quote from Tom Brady's personal chef, Alan Campbell, on what he prepares for Tom Brady and his supermodel wife, Gisele Bündchen. This is a quote from Alan Campbell, Tom Brady's personal chef. The couple maintains a strict diet of organic vegetables and grains, so 80% of what they eat is vegetables. If it's not organic, I don't use it. I'm meaning Alan Campbell, the personal chef. I don't either. That means tons of brown rice, quinoa, and beans. That's a direct quote from Alan Campbell, personal chef to Tom Brady, and Gisele Bundchen, Tom Brady's supermodel wife. And just so you know, just so everyone knows, oh, he's got a personal chef. Oh, well, he's living in a different reality. Oh, I'll never have a personal chef. Just so you know, personal chefs are not just for the rich and famous. No, my wife actually has a personal chef. My wife actually has a personal chef. That's right. Me. So anyone can do this. All right. It's not just for the rich and famous and the athletically gifted or, you know, the lucky or the few. No. In fact, I'm going to take a step forward here. Everyone can have their own personal chef, and it's them. Be your own personal chef. Okay? Be your own chef. It's easy. So we have about 15 minutes left in the show here, and I'd like to do a little radio drama, a little. I'd like to do a major radio drama on the air, a radio drama on the air. For those of you who keep track of my situation, know that I wrote a play, I wrote a musical, and I'd like to do an excerpt from the musical today. First, let me do a little preview. Let me do an important preview about the musical. It's called Dr. Glassheart. Dr. Glassheart is a modern-day medical musical that exposes the medical industry for what it is, laughable. A doctor, a nurse, a secretary receptionist, and a PTSD'd veteran from Gulf War and Vietnam, and the president-elect all get caught up in the system, and the diagnosis is hilarious. Here's the deal. Do you have an insurance card? Good. Then Dr. Glassheart will see you immediately. Now, Dr. Glassheart is no ordinary medical doctor. Okay, actually he is, and that's where we begin. The good doctor has, shall we say, checked out, and it's up to his dutiful nurse Nadine to hone him back in. This is, of course, made all the more difficult by a nasty love triangle that develops between the doctor, the nurse, and the secretary, who's Rana, the nurse, the receptionist secretary. But just everyone knows, the love triangle is mostly between Rana and Nadine. So I'm trying to get this in theaters, and apparently, if you play that angle, you have a better chance of getting in theaters. Enter Rico from Puerto Rico, who suffers from PTSD and MDMA. Now, a quick note about Rico from Puerto Rico. He served in both Vietnam and the Gulf War, one of only five Americans to serve in both the Vietnam and Gulf Wars. You see, he was one day old enough to be able to serve in Vietnam, and then one day young enough to be able to serve in the Gulf War. And only five such Americans were in that exact same age range as Rico from Puerto Rico was. Now, the funny thing about Rico from Puerto Rico is that he's convinced that Puerto Rico is the 51st state of the Union. And he's also convinced that Israel is the 52nd state of the Union, but that's another story. Now, Rico, after successfully saving the magical garden from condominium development and overcoming the greatest obstacle of all, a president-elect who is on the take from housing developers, go figure, Rico offers the audience the finest of all medical advice, and that is, patient, heal thyself. Now, of course, the other medical advice is, first, do no harm to the insurance card, which is what the Dr. Glassheart tries to tell him. Now, Rico eventually becomes the co-vice president-elect of our fine country. Dr. Glassheart features, a quick plug for the show, Dr. Glassheart features 10 original, fully orchestrated, big band-styled songs in the mode of Frank Sinatra, Count Basie, Nelson Riddle, with songwriting akin to Cole Porter, Burt Bacharach, and George Gershwin. Someone's got to do it. Every line is a laugh, and there is immersive and burlesque elements to our show. There's a post-show press conference that completely knocks down the fourth wall. Now, as a disclaimer, Dr. Glassheart is not a substitute for actual medical advice, and baby aspirin is not a cure-all. The doctor will see you now. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Act 1, Scene 1. Patience waiting. Was it not Adlai Stevenson who once said, "The only thing the human race has not improved upon is..." So I wrote a play, and it's the only artistic environment that I feel comfortable in. It's the musical theater. It's a modern-day medical musical. It's a rom-com.com, if you will. There's a sex scene. It's really quick. It's about 3 minutes at the most. And so real quickly, according to the Brooklyn Paper, we have gotten a review. We are the hottest show off-Broadway. Off Myrtle Broadway, that is. And there's going to be a lot of fancy music, unique chord changes, a lot of fancy chords. Has anyone heard of a major-minor chord? That's right. It's a major seventh over a minor ninth, kind of like a weighted eighth. But we'll have a lot of elaborate scenery, actual cadavers. But in this age of overqualification, sometimes the best candidate for the job of prop stylist is the imagination. Proper props, primarily displayed in the display case. But until then, place, where are we? Where else? Where we always are, the doctor's office. Where we always are, the doctor's office, of course. The doctor will see you now. As an aside, which is actually pronounced acai, the doctor's patient Rico from Puerto Rico enters. Enter Rico. Dr. Harkless's medical patient Rico from Puerto Rico is a two-time, twice-enlisted, double-dutied, indoor-outdoor Vietnam and Gulf War veteran, chronologically complicated, do understand. Apparently, Rico suffers from the following conditions. He has ADD, OCD, ESP, ESPN, ESPN2, PTSD, MDMA, YMCA, JCC, CSNY, AA, ARP, ASPCA, NAACP, MS, MDSs 4, 5, and 6, ASAP, ABC, NBC, EBT, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, MSNBC2, PBS, PBR. In other words, Rico officially been diagnosed with Gulf War Syndrome. He has every possible condition from A to Z, or from, as we say in the assassination community, from Abraham to Zapruder. Enter Rico.
Yeah, Doc. I'm getting it together, even if it takes forever. It's just this whole mess with the IRS gets me within several centimeters of my 9mm, you know. You got a copy of my insurance card, right, Doc? Because I got to get going.
Rico exits, or rather he gets going. Either or, the choice is yours. Enter Nadine. Dr. Glasshart's generally trustee general assistant, Nadine, the assistant general nurse practitioner, is a fully accredited and fully qualified medical assistance licensed practical nurse practitioner, practically. Nadine took correspondence courses through the nationally recognized program at Queens Community College. She completed her training and received her training certificate in just under 6 months, is now a fully qualified, certified, accredited medical nursing and practical medical nursing assistant nurse practitioner. Nadine.
Dr. Hawkglass, I'm conflicted between efficacy and efficacy. You see? I need to be affected by ethics, analytically aligned to the greater good. So help me God.
Nadine doesn't exit.
I'm not leaving.
Enter Dr. Glasshart. Dr. Glasshart, medical doctor, is a Hartford-trained medical doctor. Hartford Community College in Hartford, Connecticut offers correspondence courses in the traditional and non-traditional medical arts, as well as job training and guaranteed job placement, allowing you to generally earn your medical degree in generally under 6 months. I know. Top that, Apex Technical Institute. You can't. Real quickly here. Dr. Glasshart's entire back history will be told in the prequel, which is actually the sequel, making this presentation of Dr. Glasshart actually part two. All this is the first time we've actually done this show on the radio. Part one will come out next year. Part six actually is part three, which came out 2 years ago. So the backstory, which is good to know, is that Dr. Glasshart, medical doctor, served his medical internship on a ship, one of those luxury liners in the sea. He also worked as a waiter in one of the many fine dining establishments aboard the ship. This in order to stabilize his medical bills, or rather I should say his medical school bills. As an aside, our third of the evening, I must also mention that Dr. Harkless's medical internship was served aboard the ship under the auspices of the ship's chief medical doctor and ordained medicine, the Right Reverend Captain Dr. L.L. Lionheart Jr., medical doctor, who has a long and storied history and who's long since passed. As an aside, our fourth of the evening, which is pronounced acai, as we mentioned earlier, Dr. Lionheart will not be mentioned again tonight. As another aside, Dr. Glasshart still has frequent flashbacks to the kitchen on the ship's restaurant to this day. Dr. Glasshart. Did you hear something?
I've heard what it is that they're talking about, that the doctor is on the take. But make no mistake, a tale of two subsidies is what I make. It's not for me to differentiate between the two, you see. There's a strong and long-reaching arm with a three-pronged modality, profit, earnings, and income. But I took a Hippocratic oath, and to renege, well, that would just be hypocritical now, wouldn't it? Wouldn't? First, do no harm to the insurance card. And so I stand here before you all, however long this takes, to be serviced of you all. And what if I came to the terms that my medical jacket is not all-knowing, nor all-powerful, nor is it even all-sanitary? This is a heavy pill for me to swallow, so to speak. I mean, what if your entire indoctrinated belief systems were in truth and in proof absolutely without foundation and systematically flawed? Everything you know is wrong, but then again, who am I to say? I mean, I'm a doctor. I reflect, pondering my existence, my processes of thought, my thought processes, my thought patterns, if you know it, as I lament on my situation. If you think a fizzy thought, kindly keep it to yourself. When you think of what you've done to me, can't you think of something else? Won't you tell me who you are once again, I per se? Cause I'd really like to know. When I think about lobotomy, then I'm really in the know, then I'm really in the know. Then I'm really in the know, this time once again, then I'm really in the know. What I think is underneath the seams and common dreams leaves well enough alone. I can live 1,000 lives, you see, once again, but I'm starting to lose count. When I get my tracheotomy, my intentions will be sound. When I think about my yesterdays and the such, and how much I did not know. When I think of colonoscopy, then I really gotta go, then I really gotta go. What I really need to know, I don't know, I can't find. What I really need to know. Is this weight in present time, undefined, or anointedly assigned? As to what we have now, I could wish upon the sun, on the beams, through the light, but the sun can fizzle out. We can look to other stars, it seems. We can never question doubt. When you look into your mind, you see, just exactly who you are. And when thoughts become realities, they're exactly who you are, they're exactly who you are, they're exactly who you are, they're exactly who you are. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da-da. A certain kind of tragic, what could it be? A little bit of magic, we'll surely see. A certain kind of something has gotten over me. A little bit of magic will do the trick. A little bit of lavender, a candle, and some wax a wick. A certain kind of magic has gotten over you. But up and bada da and scootaloop up and bump. A certain kind of someone doesn't hardly stick around. A certain kind of questionable character in town. A certain kind of someone who is expecting you to do a certain kind of something that they told you never not to do. A certain kind of someone isn't hard to figure out. A certain kind of something doesn't hardly ever leave a doubt. A certain kind of something has gotten over you. All right, so that was scene one from Dr. Glassart, Medical Doctor, a new modern-day medical musical, a rom-com.com, if you will, medical musical. The two songs you heard right there were Dr. Glassart's Lament and A Certain Kind of Magic, which was sung by Nadine the Nurse. I'm actually the understudy for an off-Broadway doctor. I'm the understudy for the doctor, who's played by Mr. Andrew Hofner, most well-known for his work in Houseworld. Nadine the Nurse is played by Ms. Stephanie, a well-known cabaret singer. Rana the Receptionist is played by Stephanie Klaus. And Rico from Puerto Rico is played by Joe Crow Ryan. And the president-elect of the President of the United States of America is played by Mike Amato, well-known comic actor from New York City. So that's going to about do it here on Thought Patterns. And I start talking like this, usually this part of the show, like a country chicken. I think we covered a lot of ground today. We covered oatmeal. We talked about loose change in my pocket. We talked about the Super Bowl. We read a scene and a half from an off-Broadway play. We extend our words out to try and get to the final couple seconds of the show. Even a great audience, I'll just take my word for it. The show's called Thought Patterns. Jason Trachtenberg. We're here the first Sunday of the month. Thought Patterns, Radio Free Brooklyn, radiofreebrooklyn.com. Thank you very much. Good day.